I'll try to keep it to 5-7 minutes. Is that all right? And then we're going to go straight into communion. Many of you are familiar with the text, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. It begins with this sentence: "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole. So it is with the body of Christ." Now, I don't even need to read the rest of the text. Most of you know what it's referring to, that each of us are part of this church, which is called the body of Christ. It speaks to the diversity and the mutual interdependence, the connectedness, the beauty of the body of Christ. When I read this text, different metaphor comes to mind. A number of years ago, I taught on this, and with our River Kids, it began there. And then we actually celebrated communion with the Garibaldi cookie from Bean Brackendale. And we used the cookie as a metaphor of the body of Christ. And so I wanted to bring that teaching back to us today and allow us to actually come around the table and celebrate communion with the Garibaldi cookie. Now, I wonder what this text would actually look like or sound like with a paraphrase, with rather than the body of Christ be the metaphor, but this cookie be the metaphor. So I made a little paraphrase of the text. So have a listen. The Garibaldi cookie has many different ingredients, but many ingredients make up one whole tasty cookie. So it is with the cookie of Christ. Some of us are Swiss, some are German, some are Hungarian, and some are Polish, American, Canadian. Some are employees, employers. Some are male and female, some are teachers, some are students. Some of us have the gift of prophecy. Some have the gift of help. Some have the gift of knowledge. Some are the butter. Some are the sugar. Some the eggs. Some vanilla. Maybe the molasses. Maybe you're the bran. And the Lord knows how some of us need the bran. Some are the baking powder, the baking soda, the cinnamon, the oats, almonds, sunflower seeds, chocolate chips, raisins. We have all been immersed into one batch of spirit-infused cookie dough, and we share the same spirit-enriched connection. Yes, the Garibaldi cookie of Christ has many different ingredients, not just one ingredient. If the oatmeal says, "I am not part of the cookie because I am not the chocolate chips," that does not make it any less part of the cookie. And if the salt says, "I'm not part of the cookie because I'm not the sugar," would that make it any less part of the cookie? If the whole cookie were a big blob of sugar, how would that sit in your stomach? Or if the whole cookie were dry oats, how would that taste to the world? But the Garibaldi cookie has lots of ingredients, and God has added each ingredient just as he sees fit. How strange the cookie would be if it had only one ingredient. Yes, there are many ingredients, but only one Garibaldi cookie. The sunflower seeds can never say to the eggs, "I don't need you." The flour can't say to the baking soda, "I don't need you." In fact, some ingredients of the Garibaldi cookie that seem tasteless and least important, maybe like baking soda, baking powder, are actually the most necessary. And the ingredients we regard as less honorable, like salt or eggs, are those we treat with the greatest care. So we carefully guard and value those ingredients that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts, like sugar and chocolate chips and sunflower seeds, that do not require this special care. So God has put the Garibaldi cookie together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that may seem tasteless on their own or seem to lack substance. This is a beautiful example of how all these ingredients need one another, and when blended together just right, makes something so full of taste. If one ingredient is missed or has spoiled, the rest of the cookie suffers with it. And if one part is honored and seen as important, all parts become what they are intended to be, complemented and made rich by one another. All of you together are Christ's Garibaldi cookie. And each of you is a very, very special ingredient of it. What do you think of the paraphrase? It's the new cooking Bible coming out. how each of you are important, and together we make something beautiful. You know, on our own, we might be too sweet. You might be, maybe you're just oozing with sweetness. Can you imagine if we were all that sweet? Right? Too much to take. Some of us are molasses. Some of us are vanilla. We all have our unique taste in what we bring to the table. And we have this master baker, the creator, who mixes it all together so that not only we taste and see that the Lord is good, but all those that we come in contact with in our world taste and see that the Lord is good. From all the people who do setup behind the scenes, are here early in the morning, the worship team that labors over the song choice, pray into what's happening and what the Spirit wants to do on a CWG, whether they feel like it or not, they are faithful and committed to preparing. Whether it be Elsbeth, and she didn't want me to mention her name, but, oh, there she is. Sorry, Elsbeth. I thought you weren't even here. She collects extra foods coupons and in order for us to bless some of you who might be going through a hard time financially. Elsbeth's role is so important. Those who meet every 6 to 8 weeks at Hilltop, vital part of the ministry here at the River Church. Those of you who help Kenda with the River Kids, every facet, every piece, whether it's behind the scenes praying for people faithfully, and no one knows how much and how often you pray for others, is such a vital part that you play in the River Church. You are all part of what this incredible cookie is. Without you, it wouldn't taste quite like it does. But I actually don't think that we, the River Church, have arrived. I actually think that Jesus, this master baker, is still adjusting the recipe. I think he actually is, he's like, oh, I think we could add a little bit more vanilla. Where is that vanilla? Maybe I have this idea that the master baker actually is using some substitute ingredients. He's Googling. I don't have any baking powder. How do I make baking powder without baking powder? And you know what? It's never quite as good as the real thing. Maybe you have a gift, a passion, something that God wants to use and add to the mix, but it's not available yet. We've seen God take others from around the world, other parts of Canada, and have added them to our mix. I think about Richard and Karen coming from Japan. What a beautiful piece, part that they play in this batch, this infused by God's Spirit batch of cookie dough, that because of you and God's Spirit drawing you, because he didn't have the gift, he didn't have the raisins, and he needed to bring it from Japan. God has called some of you to the River Church, not just to consume the cookie, but to be part of the cookie. There's value, importance to each ingredient, and God has a purpose for each of you. I think the first batch called the River really tasted good, but I think he's tweaking the recipe. I think he knows that it can taste better. You might be just what this cookie needs. Many of you heard a little story of how I was praying for my family one morning and God gave me this picture of our house, and it had this vine and grapevine and olive branches and olives and grapes filling our home almost to the point of kind of bursting out the windows and out the door. And as I've been kind of sitting with this text, praying into it more, God gave me in my quiet time Psalm 128, and for those of you who haven't heard last week's message, I'm just going to read it for you. 5 days later, God, while I was praying, just said, gave me Psalm 128. I didn't know what that psalm was, so I opened my Bible, and this is what I read. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children would be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. May the Lord continually bless you. I believe that picture is not just for us personally, but that picture is for us as a church. I was actually, I don't dream that often, but the other night I dreamt. And in my dream, Kenda said to me, Psalm 128 and the vine picture is not connected to God pruning us. It's more of a fulfillment. God has already done it. I woke up. And the first thing I thought of was Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 says this, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made their Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." You see, I was given that prophetic word 11 years ago. A year before we moved here, our staff at North Shore Alliance Church were at a staff meeting at Linwood House, and someone with the gift of prophecy prayed over me and said this, "Darcy, I see a potted plant. The roots are ingrown and root-bound, and I see God pulling this plant out and planting it by a river, a spacious place, where the roots could grow down deep." And then he said to me, "Does that resonate with you?" You see, at that time, unbeknownst to him, I had been traveling to Squamish, praying alongside the riverbank here in Squamish, and trying to discern whether God was calling us to plant a church here. And then this prophetic word. And believing at that time that God wanted to plant me as a leader into a place where my roots could grow down deep. But I believe now that this is a fulfillment. I believe that the picture of the home, the olive branches breaking out of our house, and Kenda actually gave me this insight, could it be that the Holy Spirit is saying, "Now I have planted you"? The first verse in Jeremiah 17 is, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who have made their Lord their hope and confidence." It's almost like the Holy Spirit saying, "I've done it. You are putting your hope in me. I am your confidence. Now, after 10 years of you being rooted and established in this community, fruit is coming." And as I heard that, I went, "Oh, could it be? Could it be that God is not done with us as a church yet? And yes, you are having an incredible impact in this community, but what more does the Holy Spirit want to do in and through us in the river or in Squamish?" This summer, I've seen this Sikh man walking around our neighborhood with a walker. And I wondered, every time I saw him, wonder what his story is. What happened to him? And so I began to pray for him. Every time I'd see him, "Lord, if you want me to talk to him, then make an opportunity happen." Well, one night, I was skateboarding with Luke and with Cameron, and we were around the corner, and bam, there he was, right on the sidewalk. And he was staring me in the face. And I said, "Here's the opportunity. Stop." And I came up to him and I said, "Hello, my name is Darcy. I'm your neighbor. We moved in a few months ago. And I couldn't help but see you this whole summer with your walker. And I've been wondering, you must have a story. And I wanted to stop and let you know that I've been praying for you. And I've been praying that if God wanted us to talk, that we would have an opportunity to talk, so I can let you know that I've been praying for you." As soon as I told him I was praying for him and his wife, "Oh, thank you. So much respect, so much gratitude." And he began to pour out his heart as to what happened and the injury, the accident that he was in. It was a God moment. And as I came away from that, I went, whoa, just the response, just the hunger, Well, this last October and Halloween, we went out trick-or-treating. Again, I was with Luke and Cameron. And there we go. We're at his house. And I see him come to the door, and he's no longer with his walker. And my kids are there, and I'm like, oh, man, here's another opportunity. So I made a beeline for the door and immediately started bowing, and he called me brother. And at the end of the evening, Luke said, I think Michael or somebody that was with the kids said, "Why did he call you brother?" And Luke said, well, because Darcy, my dad, stopped this summer and prayed for him and told him that he was praying for him. And ever since then, he calls him brother. See, I see this Garibaldi cookie as this sample plate. You know, when you go to Bean, sometimes you time it just perfectly, and there's a sample plate right there. And it's just like, oh, man, you are God's sample plate. The Garibaldi cookie. And you know what? The Holy Spirit has this tray, and he's just walking around the community, and he's going, have you tasted this one? You got to have a taste. That was my opportunity for the Holy Spirit to go, oh, you got to taste this cookie. You want in? You want in? You want to be part of the batch? You want to be part of the dough? Oh man, you need to be part of the dough. You are God's sample plate. Wherever you are, whether it be the alternate school, whether it be the hospital, whether it be the doctor's clinic, the physio clinic, whether it be commuting, whether it be laundry, whether it be teaching, whether it be Sea to Sky, student, whatever you do, wherever God has placed you, you are God's sample plate. You are not just reflecting the love of Christ, but you are reflecting the River Church. We have a shape as a church that is unique in this community. We are not trying to be someone else's cookie. We are who God made us to be. And so my encouragement, that is an encouragement. I hope you feel encouraged. You are part of the cookie. But maybe there's some dormant gifts that have not yet been drawn out. And out of fear, out of lack of faith, or maybe just ignorance, you don't know that those gifts are present in you. And my prayer for you in 2015, that God would begin to call those things out of you. Because you know what? The cookie's not done. The Holy Spirit wants to tweak this recipe. He's in the cupboard, man, and he is looking. Where is that vanilla? Right? He's calling that gift out in you. And this year, I believe God has something special for us. There's some unique things. That sample plate's going to go to places maybe that we've been praying about and haven't seen that kind of infiltration yet, and that wants to happen. God wants that to happen. We're going to worship around the tables, and I believe we've got a couple of cookies. We've got a gluten-free there, and we've got the Garibaldi cookie there. And so this is an opportunity for us to say, yes, we are part of the body of Christ. And there's no small, unimportant ingredient. We are all part of the cookie. And let's celebrate who we are in Christ. Let's come to the table. I know it doesn't taste all that great mixed with juice. I was really tempted to do milk, but I thought that would probably be a little bit too much of a stretch for some of you. So we'll save the milk. You can always sneak a cup of coffee and dip coffee if you feel free to do that. But there's juice here. And so let's come together as a close and celebrate Jesus and celebrate who we are in this community. All right? So worship team, you're going to come up and play 10,000 Reasons. And then do we have a tally?